Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
Hello, Devin. Alrighty. What do you got for us for today?
Talk to a point and stop when you have reached it. Be comprehensive in all that you say or write. To fill volume about nothing is a credit to nobody.
Okay. Are you saying we shouldn't do a podcast?
Yeah, it's basically everything against podcasts. Well, one more good one in the vein of brevity. When you introduce a moral lesson, let it be brief. I like that one too.
Yeah, I like that one too. let it be brief.
Let it be brief. If you're gonna throw down some morals, some heavy stuff.
Yeah, all right. That's why I tell my students sometimes. I'm like, you're being a bad person. Stop being a bad person. And they're like, oh.
That's pretty brief.
Right, exactly. Right to the point.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that I was obviously a podcast. We have no choice but to talk for at least an hour every week. I mean, we do have a choice.
Right.
We're trying to fill time. But
yeah,
I think when you're working on a project or a creative endeavor, right, you're trying to be brief. Not brief, so brief that you cut out quality stuff, but
right.
It's maybe a lesson in how to create content.
I think that's true. I mean, you try to get to the point. I think if we're thinking about YouTube content, there are some people who I don't notice it when they talk, when they ramble. And then there are others that I definitely do. Maybe it's because they can get to a point. Or, you know, it's not just rambling. It's working through an idea succinctly. You know, right. So, like, I could sit and watch some YouTubers talk for 10 minutes. And then others, it's just like, oh, my gosh, you're just talking around in circles. Like, just get to it or just move on, you know, like.
So. That's a part of being the talent, right. Is being able to be concise and an interesting orator, right?
Yeah, definitely.
There's definitely people, you don't want to hear. But it's like when you go into work or any place where you know a bunch of people, there's definitely people, if they come to you and they start talking, you're like, ah, here we go. But there's also right. Some people that you're like excited, like, oh, what do you got? Like, let's right. Sit down and chat. This is fun.
Yeah, I used to work with a girl when I was in college. She was a great storyteller, and she always had just great stories. Like, she would, like, almost every day she'd come in and something wild would have happened to her, like, on the way home the day before or something. Like, she always had these great stories. And I kind of asked her about it one time, and she joked that, so she was the assistant manager when I was a student at the college and working, like, as a, paid whatever, work study. And I asked her about, like, her good stories and stuff. She's, well, I got to give you guys something. You're like, you're barely paid anything and you're here all the time working. So I got to give you some fun stories to make it fun. Oh, that was great. But she was such a good storyteller, you know, like, I was always excited to hear what she was going to say. Cause it was like, it built, you know, it, like, they had a good pace. It went from, like, an intro and it built up to a climax and then, like, a letdown. It was just really good. Like, I was like, man, this is great. There's always some fun thing happening, you know?
There's also a little bit of the, what's the saying? I'll never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Yeah, right.
That's embellish a little bit.
Yeah, I was just listening to on my way home another podcast called Stuff You Should Know, which is a pretty big podcast. It's on iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. But they're talking about like common phrases. And one of the ones was one I'd never heard before. It was it's the exception to the rule, or the exception that proves the rule. Uh-huh. You ever heard that before?
Yeah.
I've never heard that term before. It's the exception that proves the rule. And it was kind of like they talked about it a little while, went back and forth, and got to the point where it was kind of like the one example that I liked was if you see a sign, you go into a restaurant, it has a sign that says no shirt, no shoes, no service.
Uh-huh.
Right? So it's like the rule is that at this place, you have to wear a shirt and shoes to get service, meaning that anywhere there are other places that you don't have to wear shirt and shoes, you know, so like
right.
It's the exception that creates the rule, right? It's like the exception is that in this place you have to wear a shirt and shoes, but other places you might not have to, you know, so
I don't know. It's just or that's a thing where it just they run into that issue more. You have to post it.
What do you mean?
Well, if you're a beach town restaurant.
Oh, right. And I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You might have to post that when, if you're, you know, in Baltimore County and you're Chipotle, right. You don't necessarily have to post that. Like, hey, no bathing suits, you know, or, you know, that type of thing. No wet bathing suits in here. You're never going to see that, but you might see that on the boardwalk.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I guess that's like, it's like, I guess what they were kind of getting to, or what made sense to me, was that in that situation, that the exception proves the rule, right? So the rule is that normally bathing suits and, you know, shirt and shoeless people are fine. You know, the rule is like, you can walk around outside with that. But if you go into this place, this is the exception. In this place, you cannot wear that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how that goes back to, your quote about brevity and getting to the point. We just kind of went all around the point.
Yeah, we're not nothing. We're
proving it.
No brevity here in this podcast.
Yeah. I think that's fun, though. You know, it's funny you're like saying, I was like, well, I guess that counts us out on podcasts. But I do think about that often, is just being succinct, talking, you know, correctly through an idea and getting to the end and being able to move forward. And it's something that I do obviously a lot while teaching, you know, kind of work through an intro to a class and then have to get to you. I have to wrap up what I'm saying, so that way they understand by what I'm saying that it's time for them now to get to work. Right. So intro, talk. Okay. Now you're going to do this. All right. At this time, everybody do this, this, and this. Go. You know what I mean? Like, without saying that, but kind of wrapping it up in a way that gets to an end. And it's like it's a definitive end to the conversation.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's do some brevity in this quote section and move on.
All right.
I want to talk. I saw some videos I've been watching. I watched. Now, here's a funny thing. I don't watch a lot of D'Resta videos, and if I do, I don't watch them all the way through. Not that I don't like him, but it was just never. He wasn't my start on YouTube, you know. So he's not one of the guys I go back to constantly.
Right.
But he always does do interesting projects, and he does what I think, which everyone knows. He just gets stuff done, which is the great thing, right? Maybe that's why everyone's so high on him, because he shows you can kind of make anything, and it's he'll just do it, like, with whatever he's got.
Right.
Like, yeah, boom, I'll just ping, ping, and he glues it and hammers it in, and you're like, oh, I guess it's just that. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah.
Glue it, hammer it on there, and then he, like, trims off some edges, and then he's just doing it. He's constantly doing. But he did that great guitar, like the Screaming Skull guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
Really cool. But the action on it was super high.
Yeah, right. The nut that was really high. Yeah.
Like, he had it. It was almost looked like a slide, you know, like a lap steel guitar where the action's like a half inch high.
Yeah.
And he, like, you could tell wasn't playing well. And that, I mean, he was probably just finishing up. Like, oh, I got to get done. Like, this didn't.
Yeah, right. Right. We can finish up the video with just this. Yeah. All right. But, yeah, because, you know, with the nut, when you put that in at the end, you can file down in to get the strings to sit down, you know, where you want them, so the action is down low enough. So I did notice that though. He just like glued the nut in like full size. I was like, dang.
I know.
I was like, man, that's gonna be really tall.
It didn't work out at all. I was like,
oh, right, yeah.
Action's so high, everything's so you can't play it, and you can tell because he definitely wasn't playing any chords or anything. He just did a few like runs higher up on the neck.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't going to be able to even get a chord on it. Like
down near, yeah, right, exactly. Maybe. I know, I was actually kind of impressed. He seemed like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he had a little bit.
Yeah, it was good.
But maybe also, maybe he has a guitar shop tuner guy who really dials it in. He's like, look, I'll make the thing. But, like, yeah. I'm sure he, you know, the neck was pre-made because he didn't show that.
Yeah, so what he was doing was part of what's called the Great Guitar Build Off.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it's through Crimson Guitars, they send out bodies and, you know, basically the whole thing. They send out a blank body, but you get the neck and, you know, it already has the fretboard and everything on it.
Okay, cool.
And then they make them and then they give them back and they're all donated, you know, and they raise money for charity. So, like, he made one. I saw that he did one. I saw, three other guys, Bob Claggett from I Like to Make Stuff, and then also Dave Picciuto from Make Everything or Make Something. They're the three guys on the Making It podcast, and so they all three were doing it. But I also saw a few other people post their guitars as well. So there's some cool ones out there. I haven't watched Dave's yet on Make Something, but he has like a. Like a laser print, something like somehow he printed something on paper and then transferred it onto the surface to make like a pattern on the surface, which just sounded really cool. He was talking about it briefly on the podcast, but I really want to watch and see what he was like. He's like, I'm not going to say that I made up a technique. He's like, but I'm pretty sure I made up a technique. Like, I was like, I'm pretty sure no one's ever done this before. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Nice.
It'd be interesting, but yeah.
But yeah, that it was a cool build to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been kind of like flipping around on YouTube a little bit recently, not really watching a ton of stuff. I don't know. I feel like there's so many shorts or whatever they're called on YouTube. It's really annoying. Like, yeah. Yeah, it's just every, like, I feel like my entire feed and my subscription is just like 2/3 are just YouTube shorts.
Mm.
And I don't want to watch shorts. I don't want to watch, like, when I'm on YouTube, I don't want to watch something that's, like, 30 seconds or 40 seconds. You know?
But you're also, yeah, you will just look, you will go through only your subscriptions.
Yeah.
Like,
I usually go to my subscriptions and look there. Because I'm subscribed to, like, you know, 150 people or whatever.
But. Yeah, I know. But, see, there are so many channels that spam everything. Especially bigger channels, you know, not like normal maker channels, but like,
right,
let's say you're subscribed to a news channel or like a
right, yeah,
any big company, they just right. like they shit out a load of stuff and it's like right. four of them a day, so that yeah, then you see like 30 videos from them and then there's like one buried in there of someone you actually like,
right, yeah,
so maybe that's half the issue because you're getting all their stuff. Like when I look through my normal, like from home, you know, your normal right. like feed, it just has, they don't show many shorts. They kind of throw them in,
right?
Kind yeah, of but in then sideways, like
yeah, yeah. No, I know. Sometimes I'll look through home, but I usually don't. I'd rather just there are like a couple dozen channels that I really want to see new stuff from.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm looking at my subscriptions. And they're true. The ones who post most often, yeah. You know.
You're not going to find anything new, any good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good stuff out there, Dust.
There is, I know, but
no one would find us if we didn't.
I know, but I don't have a ton of time to watch YouTube videos. So when I do jump on YouTube, I want to watch what I want to watch.
Well, but they're forcing you out of it because of the shorts.
Yeah, but I just have to kind of wade through to find the good stuff.
Wade through the
but it's all the channels clips. That I also like to watch, you know. There's like, you know, Wrangler Star shorts and there's like, you know, Tested shorts and Whistling Diesel shorts and I think so. I mean, there's shorts for everything. It's just like there's just a ton of stuff out there, which is fine because that's what that's what people are seeing, and they like seeing them. But I'm just not a particular fan. I wonder if there's like a way to, I don't know, you know, like put in a filter so I don't get any shorts.
Maybe. I don't know. No, they kind of suck. If you're going to YouTube to watch YouTube videos, I mean, if you want to get a TikTok, Instagram style thing, you know, where you're just constantly scrolling mindlessly, getting these little hits of like, oh, cool, 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 next. But I feel like there's nothing to it. There's no staying power in those videos.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It comes and goes. It's like, what's the analogy? Oh, like, I think it's a Steven Rinella thing. Two different types of fun, and maybe there's two different types of video. There's like immediate fun, like, oh, a roller coaster is great.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, I took a trip and I did this and I had an amazing time and there was some crappy weather and our tent got, what, you know, you're going to remember that one. You're going to remember like the, not the immediate hit of like excitement. Like, you're going to remember the other thing a lot longer. So I feel a little bit that way with like TikTok videos and shorts.
Yeah.
They are hits of entertainment, but they are not lasting. No one's going to be showing their kids shorts in 30 years.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you might in the moment, you're like, oh, check this out, and you show people, you know, and it might be like a fad, like a specific dance or something, you know, and everyone's watching this one person, it goes viral, and, you know, but, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like you said, it doesn't have the staying power, and it doesn't grab my attention the same way. It just leaves me feeling unsatisfied, you know, like, I want more. Like, if I see a, you know, I'll say a person that does a lot of shorts is Neil Kamimura. And that's because his background is Instagram. So he's used to doing Instagram, you know, reels and stuff and just short videos. But he does a lot of them on YouTube. And so, like, he just shows, like, you know, 30 seconds or 15 or 20 seconds of him just showing a knife that he made. But he also has, you know, half a dozen or 10 videos of him actually forging out knives. And he's, like, such a interesting dude, and like all of his Instagram stuff and all of his shorts, he's always got this like super serious face, and he's like, you know, like always like looking real cool, you know, like Joe Cool, like not, you know, not happy, but just like, I'm a cool, you know, bad boy cool. But then when like you see him like in video, he's always laughing and cracking jokes and just seems like such a fun dude, you know. So like I see these shorts and things, and they're so unsatisfying because I want to see his real personality and see him forge some stuff out and like, you know, talk about his process and like joke with the people that are in his shop with him. And, you know, like that's, I don't know. It's just, it's real. I feel like, you know, all the shorts and reels and stories and stuff, they're all just so fast, you know, just, you don't get enough.
Like, it's like fast food, or maybe it's like, like, not being satisfied, wanting more, like the stories and the TikToks and the quick ones are like a stripper, and then a good long video is like a great relationship or a marriage that you love, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
There's an immediate like, whoa, you know, tits, but then,
right.
But then you get the whole thing, you get everything.
Yeah, right. It's like jerking off or having sex.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, you get an immediate thing, but, yeah, I don't know. But also, there's so many views in those things that it's...
Yeah.
People can't... Like, what are you going to do? Like, people still have channels to run, and they're still trying to get eyes on their stuff. So, like...
Yeah.
I saw for a while on Wrangler Star, he was getting huge numbers on his stupid shorts.
Yeah, right.
And then his regular videos were getting nothing near it.
Right.
Like, so, like, you're just forcing all your creators to stop creating, in my opinion.
Right.
Right, it's like, oh well, I mean, not that they care what people are creating; they just want people
to stay on traffic.
Yeah, it's like, hey, how long can we keep people on? And if people scroll on Twitter or TikTok longer than Twitter, but if they scroll on TikTok longer than they will sit and watch a video on YouTube, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I just think it's just not my cup of tea, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, and I understand its purpose as far as like how we can send traffic to our YouTube channel. You know, you do a little short or you do a reel, you do something like, I mean, that's why I do Instagram stuff, because I want people to see what's happening behind the scenes and then also go over and check out us making these things, or, you know, like build the relationship there and these like quick views of things to that way then have people come and, you know, participate in the videos and the community on YouTube.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm constantly searching, and I think we always go back to this. This is why we wanted to do it the way we do it, because we're both constantly searching for someone we can just sit down and watch, like a TV right. show. Like, you know, I want to watch a half an hour of something.
Yeah, right.
So it's either something stupid on TV or another rerun of whatever, The Office or Seinfeld, or maybe I'll sit down and watch half an hour of, like, something new, someone going through a process, someone right. I like doing something interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, obviously I usually go to my subscriptions, but that's when I go to YouTube for that purpose, to be able mm-hmm. to sit down and watch something. Mm-hmm. Right? Then I look at my subscriptions and see who's done something that I want to watch. You know, when the other maybe 30% of the time that I go into YouTube is I want to learn something new. Or I'm looking up for some inspiration, or I'm trying to do some research on something that I want to do that I need some help with, or I want to see how somebody else has done it. And that's when I just search. You know, I'm searching for how to make this thing or mm. keywords or things like mm. that. Then I'm finding new people. But I don't often find new people that I'm really... Well, I guess maybe when I'm looking for... information, I'm not necessarily looking for a quality channel. I'm just looking for the information.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. if I happen to find a quality channel that does some really cool stuff, you know, like I came across Wrangler Star because I was, you know, really getting into axes, and he did a lot of axe restoration videos, right? So I was seeing a lot of his content. So I started watching, and then I became, you know, like interested in his personality and, you know, followed along with his story and his family and all that stuff. Same thing with, like, Timothy Dick. You know, like, I started following his stuff because he was doing forging things, which I thought were really cool. And then he was making axes. And, you know, it's like these different things and different knife makers that I follow. And, you know, these, like, different people are doing things that I enjoy. And so I watch more and more of them. But I also think that the low-quality videos, even if someone's doing something... And there's some people that I'm not going to like call out, but there are definitely some people out there in the world who I am friends with who make videos that I'm just not super happy about watching all the time because they're like the variety's not there or the quality's not there. And that's fine. And people, you know, but usually the information is there, right? You know, there's like a lot of good quality information. And that's usually why I may have found these different channels or different people, but the quality of video or the quality of the community they're building in their channel is not necessarily enough to draw me in, you know? So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, but I know, you know, I don't know what they can do. What do you think about Wrangler Star's stuff now? Do you still watch him regularly?
He does a lot of live streams now, which I'm not super fan of. Like he'll do like an hour, 2 hour long live stream. Like he's doing them a lot. Like, every day almost.
Yeah.
And I guess it kind of depends on what he's doing. Like sometimes he'll be doing something that's, you know, like more, like he's working toward making something or, you know, fixing something, which is cool. But then a lot of times he'll be just like hanging out and talking and, which is fine too. And it's, you know, I'll usually pop in and pop out, but I prefer his more produced videos. So, you know, and he's always just doing stuff around the homestead and just working on projects. So there's a lot of content there to kind of flip through and decide which ones I want to watch. Right. So same thing with our channel. Like he does a lot of different stuff, just like we do a lot of different stuff. So not everyone's going to want to watch like the something random me and made or done or something that I am interested in. But then they may come back because they like the axe videos or like they like the knife videos or, you know, or a tool restoration video or the questions videos, you know, like, so they might come back for those. So that's what I usually do with Wrangler Star, you know, like if he's making anything that he's like, when he's making stuff, I love when he makes stuff, you know, cause he's just, the way he works is cool. You know, he's He's all about quality. So if he's like building something or making something, I'm all about those videos. If he's just like fixing something or working on his motorcycles, things like that, I'm like, yeah, you know. But even then, sometimes I'll watch. But if it's an actual produced video, I'll usually watch. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how he's not totally burnt out.
Yeah.
We're doing it for so long, and every activity he does, he basically is recording it.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole, I feel like a part of it, the whole point of being out there and having a homestead is having some peace and some time to yourself. But instead of that, he's like going to the end of the driveway, setting up a cell phone, shooting it, doing stuff, doing your normal chores, plus the chore of shooting it, especially in all the weather. It's always, you know, half the year it's snowy there, and you're like, oh my gosh, like how is he not... I mean, that's his livelihood, so he's definitely like a hardworking guy, so he's probably just, you know, I could be on a roof, like, roofing, so I'm not going to complain about setting up cameras and making content, but, man.
Yeah, for 3 hours or something in the day, you know, and making a 15-minute video, you know, so, yeah. No, I just, I think,
like, that whole vlog open book thing is just, has to be tiring.
Yeah, no, I think it obviously is, you know, and I mean, I feel like we feel that way sometimes, you know, we're like, okay, another video, you know, gotta keep it going, but.
But it's not vlog style. I mean, you're pretty much your whole life outside of the shop is peaceful. You do what you want. You don't have to set up cameras. You walk out of the shop, you have your normal life where you can do everything you want without worrying about getting a shot.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it depends on, if it's your livelihood, if you're making a living out of it, you do it as, you would think of it as a job. Like, this is what I need to do. I need to do this many hours of this thing every day, you know, Monday through Friday, and, you know, maybe take a couple of days off. And you know, if it's just you following, you know, showing your life, you get to do whatever you want. You just have to kind of document it. I also think, you know, he, as well as some other people in the world, feel like they have a message to, you know, to send, to give to people. And they want to, you know, it's important that they get that message out there. So that's kind of the driving factor, I think. Yeah. You know, for something like our channel, like, I don't feel like I'm trying to get a message out to the world. You know, I'm just like, just making cool things and letting people follow along and trying to give some people some knowledge about the things that I've done and, you know, that I know how to do and that I'm interested and I'm excited about doing, right? I just want to pass on that kind of excitement that, you know, try to make that, like, infectious excitement about making things, get people interested in making stuff. So other than that, you know, we just finished up again, finished an evening working on the sheep shear knives. Those are all glued up and basically done. They've been ground and I guess last time we just cut them apart on the last podcast, just cut them apart and put them into the solution, the kind of rust remover solution. But yeah, so now they've all been ground and, you know, the bevels have been ground and they've been cleaned up and the handles have all been shaped and cleaned up and sanded and all glued together with the pins and everything. So we'll just have one more day of that. And then that video will probably come out, I guess, sometime maybe next week or so, sometime around Christmas.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That'd be good. I'm excited. I love making these knives. Like, it's, you know, it's something, I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like there's something really interesting. It like harkens back to my enjoyment of, like, restoring old tools and also giving life to, like, an old product that otherwise would have just been thrown away or hung up somewhere on someone's wall, you know, as a display.
Yeah.
So I love that. And the shape is just so beautiful. Like, I love the shape of these, like, petty knife shape. It's just like, it really speaks to my aesthetic. And I like the, you know, that it's like one piece and that, you know, I can design the whole knife around the handle shape. Like, I can change the way it feels and looks. And I have these ideas of doing, like, different type of stacked handles with different materials and liners and stuff. And, you know, so really, like, having fun with the handle shape and trying to, perfect that. And just like, I don't know, something about the simplicity and the way they feel. I'm really excited. So much so that last weekend I went out, I guess it was Sunday morning or maybe Saturday morning. We're just kind of sitting around. We had breakfast and I was like, I'm going to go to the flea market. So I went to the flea market, like literally to find sheep shear knives. And usually like when I go to flea market, it's for axes, right? That's my primary goal. Like I'm looking for an axe first and then anything else that falls along the wayside. That being said, I definitely, last weekend I went to the flea market. I went to actually two different flea markets looking for like indoor flea markets looking for sheep shear knives, which I didn't find, or sheep shears.
Around where? You don't have to be specific, but
yeah, no, Joppa Flea and North Point Flea Market.
Or be exactly specific.
Whatever, it's fine. So I actually saw a guy who recognized me last time I was there. He was there again. So he's like, hey, Dustin from the Art of Craftsmanship. He was telling this old black guy who has this booth that's like just full of tools, which is awesome. You know, it's like, it's the type of tool booth you want. It's just, he gets tools, he just throws them into bins and just stacks them on top of each other. And they're just full, you know, old tools, just tons of stuff.
You can get like three or four tools for like $5-$10. Just be like, yeah, exactly. But what about this one and this one? Oh, and this one, you know, last second, grab one more, you know?
Yeah, right. How about, can I throw this one in there? He's like, yeah, sure. How about $20? I'm like, yeah, I got 12. How about you take 12? He's like, I don't know. You know, that was probably worth $5. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's what I got. He's like, all right. You know, like,
you know, so, who I am.
Yeah, right. But the guy who was there, he's like, do you know who this is? He's a Russian, big tall dude, like, you know, kind of Eastern European. So he's got that kind of Russian accent. He's like, this is Dustin, the Art of Craftsmanship. He's like, you should be giving him free stuff. He'll shout out your booth. Like, he's like, he's a famous, he's a celebrity. It was really funny. But then like hearing him haggle with this guy over tools and stuff is really funny. Oh, it's great. It was like, he picked up this one. It was like a hammer or something. I think it was like plum or something. And I forget what it was, but he's like, how about this? How much for this? And I was like, oh, you know, it's this old black guy. He's like, oh, that's great. That's a good tool. That's a plum right there. He's like, And the Russian guy, he looks at me and he does this little side wink. He's like, what's that? I don't know that brand. Is that a good brand? He's like, how much you want for this $10 hammer? You know, he kept saying stuff like that. He was like having a good time, like haggling with him. It was hilarious. He's like, $10. I don't know about that. But yeah, so I was there, and so I'm looking around, and I'm obviously like, so this booth is probably, it's maybe 15 feet deep and let's say 8 feet wide, and it's divided into two aisles. So you walk straight down and then you turn the end and come back. Right. So it's like a big bench on both sides in the back and then one bench in the middle. So you kind of walk around both sides. So I kind of make my way around. I do the general look over everything type thing first, right? Kind of walk around, boop, 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 go around. And I'm looking, and I don't see anything that stands out to me as like what I'm really looking for right off the bat. I walk around, then I make like a second path. And the second path is like the digging in path, right? So like, okay, well now I haven't found something that I'm looking for, but now I'm just looking for something that stands out to me. So I'm like looking, I start picking up some stuff, and I found, let's see, I got some cool old pliers that had like an adjustable, they're like a parallel jaw pliers that actually are like vice grip style, so they actually lock in, which I didn't realize they did. I think I showed them to you. Those are pretty cool. You know, I found them. There were some like vintage, you know, tool, just look kind of cool, and kind of I played with them. I was like, that's kind of cool. So hanging out with them, like hold that, and then I came looking. I find this little like bottle cap opener, bottle opener. It was all rusty, and to grab that, and I found some like long 1/8 inch drill bits, and I found four little aluminum half hatchet heads that are maybe, the bit might be an inch tall, and like the whole thing is like an inch and a half, you know, like those are super cool. I was really, really excited about finding them. And this is just like me looking through like one random little toolbox, and I see something that catches my eye. So I like grab that, and then I'm like just digging around. I see this little axe head, so I picked it. I'm like, that's cool. So I'm still looking, and then there's another one there, and I'm like, you know, and there's only say like maybe 20 little random things in this toolbox, but somehow they're like hiding in there. So I'm like digging around, and I found another one, and I'm like going through all of it. I'm like, is there any more in here? You know? So it's just like I really enjoy the that hunt, you know, and like digging in and like looking inside the random box that maybe someone else didn't really dig down to the bottom of. Right. Because I found some really cool old tools, and usually, you know, you can tell when something is older, if it's not, or even if it's not old, it's just something that catches your eye, you know, like this is a little different, like this has something that's special to it, like that little bottle opener. It's just this little like flat piece of steel, you know, maybe 2.5 inches tall and an inch wide, with like the little bottle opener top, which I could tell what it was. And I could see this little like etching, or this kind of etched detail along one side of it that kind of went down to a point, just like kind of look cool. And look, that's something interesting, you know, like maybe I'll pay 50 cents for it, but it's interesting. I take it home and buff, you know, clean it up, which is what I did. And it ended up being a Canada Dry ginger ale bottle opener, which is pretty cool. So, you know, probably from like the 60s or 50s and cool
made
little
in
details
the US
and stuff. I could see it said made in USA. Yeah, Canada Dry, made in USA. That's the champagne of ginger ale. Wow. It's pretty awesome.
It's like Miller,
and that was
the champagne
all,
of beer.
Yeah, right, exactly. But it was all like in cursive, and it was really cool, you know.
Yeah.
So those kind of fun things. Yeah. I love that. I love that treasure hunt.
Of
flea markets and yard sales, and like my, you know, the safety glasses that I wear all the time and all the videos. I mean, I found them at a yard sale in a big bin full of random little tools and screwdrivers. And then there were these old like shop glasses, and I was like, oh, those are cool. Grabbed them up, and I've been wearing them ever since. So
yeah, I need to find more. I got to go with you, because we're like, you know, go to antique malls and stuff. But as far as flea markets, I don't know of many.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like both of these, the ones that I go to, which are, you know, relatively within a, you know, like they're both about half an hour, 40 minutes away or so. So not too far. Yeah. There's only a select area in them that I usually find stuff, you know, it's like 2% of this giant indoor flea market that I'm actually interested in, you know? So I kind of walk in, go right to those areas. And they're always changing too, you know, so like I might go one time and find like have a, you know, go for a specific booth and it's there for 4 or 5 months, you know, and then I go back a couple months later and it's gone, and it's just like a lady selling shoes, you know, I'm like, oh man, where'd this cool booth go that had all those tools, you know, or like whatever, like something cool, you know, so, but yeah, I like, there are a lot of places, I would say within like an hour and a half to 2 hours of us that would be actually really nice, like indoor flea markets and stuff. But that's just too far to drive, you know, like I want them like, you know, I don't know, like 15, 20 minutes away. There's not a lot, unfortunately, around there. That one, that great antique mall up in Westminster used to be awesome, but that's not there anymore.
No, it's a Habitat Restore.
Oh, all right.
Which is good.
Yeah.
It's not as good. It was one of the best indoor antique malls around.
That was a great one.
Restore, which is cool, but
yeah, I've actually found some good stuff at Habitat Restore over the years.
Oh, yeah,
a lot of my like, you know, like bins of hardware and random tools,
right?
And stuff,
yeah, it'll
you know?
Be that type of stuff. Stuff's overpriced, but we have our corner cabinet, our wooden corner cabinet. We had our actual like kitchen cabinets that we turned into cabinets for the laundry room.
Just a
two pair, or you know, with four doors.
Yeah,
and just painted them. You know,
you got them from Habitat Restore.
Oh yeah, yeah. They were like, you know, I don't know how much, like $20-25 each, whatever.
Yeah.
Something real cheap, and they were in good. You know, you go through, and some are good, some are nice, some are bad, some are modern, some are old. But they were like modern looking cabinets, and we just, you know, switched out the hardware and that type of stuff for buckets of paint and, you know, backsplash tile, weird things like that that you can find that.
Yeah, I have a like a pint jar of weld wood contact cement, which is what I used for all of my leather working that I got for, you know, $6 or something at a Habitat Restore.
You know what we should do? No, we're talking about, we should do a Sunday or something where we go to 5 different places.
Yeah.
And then make videos. I mean, you can make videos out of each one.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So, like, hey, go down to the, what's the one in Baltimore? The the one near Ravens, near M&T Bank.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what it's called.
The huge one,
something,
yeah. But there's
with a D. Yeah.
There's a really huge one where they have, I mean, it's, like, one of the biggest ones. But it's, like, you can get front doors, and they will like, they will strip out old mansions and take the whole like living room, all the wood that was on the walls, you know, and you get all that,
right?
And they'll have the whole thing and the old like glass. Yeah,
what's
stuff
that? What's that place called? Isn't that like something direct or something? Or,
I forget. It's actually just fun to go in and look around. Like,
yeah,
I told you they got the Belloc Diner sign.
Yeah, right. All like cool historical stuff from our area, you know, like old like arched windows from above doorways and stuff, you know, with like colored glass and just awesome stuff like that. So, and that would be fun to go in, because then you could like do a video and then get something and come back to the shop and make something out of it too, you know, like oh, we picked up these random things. Let's go clean them up and see what we got, or let's go, you know, like get an idea from something that we find there and then come back to the shop and make something out of it. That might be, that's kind of a cool idea.
Or you cheat it a little bit and you find something in each place and then you come back and you do the intro. Like, hey, I wish I could find, we're going to look for this today. I'm going to look for a stained glass, blah, blah, blah. And then, oh, we found it.
Hey, look at that. That's the old trick of doing your intros after you've done your video.
Yeah.
That's no fun. See, that's what I like to do, the intros beforehand. You never know what you're going to do. This is what I'm going to do for this project. It's going to be great. And it changes along the way. And you're like, in the intro, didn't you say something like completely different?
Weren't
like,
you going to use this and that?
Yeah, what are you going to do? No, it didn't. You know, that's the intro. It starts off a certain way and then it goes a different way.
Yeah. But, you know, there's actually not a lot of, maybe there are videos, but I don't know of a lot of YouTube videos. I mean, I know there's a lot of traditional shows like, hey, flip it, and yard sale flippers and that type of stuff where they all go and it's like a competition, like, oh, who can find the best chair and turn it and around and sell it. But I think it'd be cool just to go and find stuff. And like you said, maybe make something out of it. Or it would be cool to have you go, we go, and we see you find the thing. And then you come back and clean the thing up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that'd be cool. Yeah, and I mean, that's what I do anyway, so let's film it. Might as well. Right. Yeah, and speaking of that, actually, one of the things that I found recently, which actually when we were up at Maker Camp, they had a cool, like this year they had a whole bunch of vendors selling stuff in one area. And I found a cool old cobbler's hammer. I had been looking for a nice cobbler's hammer, so I found one, and I found a couple since then, but the one that I found was kind of cool. It had this like spiral pattern on the face, and it was like textured, so not exactly sure what it was, but it looked really cool. So I got that, and then I've done some research on it more recently because I'm restoring it for a buddy of mine. And so I was like looking at the face and thinking, okay, well, if you're going to use this as like a burnishing or like a hammer that you would use for leather, you usually want like a clean face because you don't want anything you're like hammering your leather with to leave marks on the leather. So I'm kind of looking through it and I realized that it's actually, from what the research that I've done, it's pretty cool. It's a Crispin hammer from the maker, the Witcher. I think it's like Ben Witcher from 1920 or something. And pretty cool, like one specific, maker who made these hammers, and they're all hand forged. And, so I have one of those, and actually, it's, I guess the textured face is more designed to be able to use with like, I guess, a tack hammer for like nails and stuff when you're doing leather work. So you're actually using it to hammer nails, but I'm giving it to my buddy as like a regular leather finishing hammer. So I actually I ground and buffed the face, and I wanted to leave a little bit of that texture behind. So I didn't grind it off completely. So there's a little bit there, but really like if he's going to use it, he's going to use it as like a finishing hammer where you're like hammering, you know, you're pounding the leather to flatten it some or compress it or to like, you know, set contact cement or to go over stitching. You can use it for burnishing. You know, there's a lot of good ways to use it. So I like restored it and polished the face, and I polished the claw on the back, and then I made a new handle for it, which turned out to be the third of three tries because like I wanted to make a hammer. I wanted to make a new handle because it was a little bit loose on it, and it was an older handle, and it didn't have a good wedge. It had just like a metal wedge in it. So I pulled it off, and I was like, "Well, I'll make a new handle." And thinking that this is not like a hammer that's actually going to use like take a ton of compression or tension on the actual handle like an axe would, because it's just used for finishing, so you're really just like hammering really lightly on different stuff. So I pulled out a piece of really nice like dense wood, and I wasn't sure what it was. It was dark and it's old. It's actually a leg from a table that I had, but it was like a nice dark wood that had some cool grain to it. So I pulled that out and I cut it up, and I thought it could either be walnut because it had some like the kind of gray brown to it a little bit. It was either going to be walnut or it was cherry. But when I started like cutting it and shaping it, I'm pretty sure that it was cherry. So I shaped the handle kind of generally, and then I started to shape down the eye, and I'm fitting the head to the handle and kind of going back and forth, and I hit it a couple good times, and the part of the handle that's going through the eye just snaps off and just breaks, and the hammer hits the floor. I'm like, dang. So like crap. And then, you know, the grain was kind of sideways, and I wasn't too worried about it just because, like I said, it wasn't going to be used for a ton of like really hard hammering. So, it could be okay like that. So I'm like, oh, it's fine. So I grind it down again, back up the neck of the hammer some more. And I'm grinding it, and I get it all fit really well again. And I'm seated a couple times, and I go to seat it again one time, and it breaks off again. I was like, shit, like crap. So like, all right, well, I'm done with that. So like, all right, well, what's the next best thing? You know, now this was 2 nights ago, and my buddy, I'm giving it to him this weekend. So I'm kind of waiting, like, all right, now what do I do? I want to do another nice piece of wood, but I'm not exactly sure. So I actually grabbed an old hammer handle that I had that I cut off at one point. So it's just like, you know, the hammer handle, it's a little bit shorter than it normally would be for a full size hammer, but that's fine for this because it's not, you're not swinging it really hard. You're just doing close contact stuff with it. So I ended up shaping that down, and it was just an oval handle, but I shaped it all down, kind of thinned it out some, made it all octagonal because my buddy likes octagonal handles. So I did that and fit that, and it actually works really nice. And so I'm really happy. It like turned out really good. I've actually, I can get this in a minute, but yeah, I'm just really happy with the way it turned out. And I was actually working on it last night. I was polishing the face and getting it nice and shiny. And so I went from like a 220 ground down to about 400. And then I finished up with a Scotch-Brite belt. And so I brought it up to my living room, and I'm sitting there kind of looking at it, and it's nice and like smooth, but it's not super shiny. Like I wanted a nice mirror polish, like a fully polished face. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, what can I do? Like, you know, usually I'm happy with like the Scotch-Brite finish on stuff, but I just wasn't completely happy with it. And then I realized that I just like skipped the step that I do when I want really good polish on stuff, which is the finishing step, which is going to the buffing wheel and using polishing compound.
Right.
So I like went back downstairs and buffed it up with the polishing, and it's like mirror finish now. It's awesome. Like it's so cool. It's so pretty. And it's like this little gem. Like every time I do something like that, it's like, you just want to hold it, 'cause I feel like it's like so shiny and pretty, and it's like a jewel. So yeah. And I'm really happy with the way it turned out. And it just so happened that this like hammer handle, which was just a cheap hammer, has some really nice grain in it. So it has some cool like heartwood and sapwood and this like really beautiful grain after I like ground off, you know, the whatever eighth of an inch all the way around to make like a smaller handle that had an octagonal face. It's really pretty grain on it as well. So I'm really happy with it. And I think he will be too. And if, for those patrons, who are, you know, our patrons on Patreon, we just opened our Discord channel, and on the Discord channel, I've been talking to a bunch of the patrons today. We were all having conversations, and I sent them some pictures of the hammer. So I'll probably post on Instagram as well, but it won't go out until after Saturday after I give it to my buddy. So, you know, if you're interested, see some of those early sneak peeks at the things I've done and discussions. When we were actually filming tonight, Devin was taking some pictures, and we're like chatting and sending pictures on the Patreon Discord channel. Community channel. So it was really fun. I'm really excited. I know we've talked about it over the last couple weeks, getting it all set up, and I wanted to make sure that I actually got it set up and sent out. So I did that earlier today and sent out the link, and Had a bunch of people jump on right away. It was great. Really cool. So thank you to all those patrons who are there supporting us. And we're still learning the Discord channel and how to run it. So there's some, there'll be some things along the way where we're trying to figure stuff out, but you know, hopefully we can all enjoy that community and that place where we just have this kind of more intimate group that can hang out and chat and ask questions and send pictures, and we can all talk about what we're working on.
Oh yeah.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
No, it's, cool. It's good. Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Anything else that you chatting about?
No. I mean, we're so late tonight with people don't know where it's almost Friday.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, this podcast is going to come out in 4 hours and 14 minutes.
So you're hearing us at 11:45.
Yeah, right.
So we're trying to get that done. But yeah, we were shooting late trying to get that glue up done.
Yeah, you got to get the glue up done because it's got to, like, once you do the glue up, you just got to sit and wait. So, right. Like, if we didn't get to the glue up, then the next time we did it, we'd have to then sit and wait for another day to shoot.
so we got it done. So
yeah
it was good. All right, so recommendations, do you have anything specific?
I do, yeah. Our buddy Sean just put out a new video on his channel, Crafting Life I Want, and he just kind of went over the way to heat treat knives in a forge, and it was really good. Like, just okay, just like really simply shot. He was like, again, like really succinct, talking about what he was doing, like showed it and just kind of went through the process and just kind of simplified it to like, just how do you heat treat a knife in a forge, and you know, what things to look for and how to understand when your blade hits critical temperature and how to quench it, and just a really simple video, but it was really good and just chock full of good information. So if you are a new knife maker or an experienced knife maker and you're interested in seeing how, you know, people heat treat knives in a forge, Sean did a really good job at showing that. So check out his new video on his channel, Crafting a Life I Want.
Boom. I'm going to suggest a show that I was talking to Dustin about today. White Lotus. If you have HBO, go watch White Lotus. It's so good. Just finished the second season. Or it just ended, actually, for everybody. So, it's like a weird dark comedy slash, in the second season, like a murder mystery. Like, it's really good. And it's a great writer and director. He actually did, like, School of Rock and some of that stuff.
Oh, right.
Nice. Like, he's the weird, nerdy-looking dude, like, with the, like, light hair, like, white hair.
Right.
And that's him. But he's great. Like, and it's such a well done show on all fronts and like really good stuff. So if you're looking for something to watch, dive into that. It's a little weird. So, you know, if you're like, it's not gonna be your normal Chuckle Hut comedy, but
yeah, right.
It's gonna be a little dark and a little funky and a little weird, but it'll get you thinking, and I love it. Like, the second season, I can't wait. I mean, you know, whatever, it's going to be a year or two until they come up with another one, but yeah, really good stuff.
I just started watching House of the Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I finished, you know, when they came out with House of the Dragon, I went back and watched the whole Game of Thrones, all seven seasons, so I got to the end of that, so now I think I'm on, like, the third or fourth episode now, but yeah, it's great, man.
It just gets better and better.
It's so good so far, and like, it just, the character development is really good, and like, mm-hmm. all these different characters you want to love and you want to hate, like, they're all so complex, you know. It's really good so far,
right? There's no standard, like, oh, he's the baddie, he's the goodie. Everybody's got layers. That's how it should be. Like, and that's definitely a Game of Thrones thing. Everyone has these dark sides to them, but oh, it's so good. And it just gets better as it goes.
Nice. Yeah. No, I've been enjoying it, watching it late at night. I'll like watch 1 3/4 of a second episode and then fall asleep like the last like 10 minutes, and I'll wake up and it'll be like 3 episodes later. It's like in the middle. I'm like, damn. Why? No, what's happening? And, like, pause it. Who's and that? I gotta go back, and you know, because my HBO, like, it's like, oh, this is where you left off. I'm like, no, wait, I want to go back to where I fell asleep. Don't you know that?
Don't you know yet?
Don't you know that I can only make it through 1 3/4 of an episode? I should just automatically stop at that point.
Are you still with us?
Yeah, exactly.
We know it's 11:30. You want to start another one?
You sure? You're not going to make it through.
You have work tomorrow.
You're right. Yeah, right, exactly.
Stop nagging me, HBO.
I do what I want.
Don't you tell play me what more to do. Now.
It's like I get pissed off at like what is it, Siri or whatever on Google Maps. It's like turn left. I'm like, don't tell me what to do. You shut it up.
I don't listen to robots.
All right, exactly. That's like Kate and Sean. They have Alexa in their house, and they're like, Alexa, they'll ask her something, and they'll be like, thank you. Like, one of these days she's gonna take over the world, and we're gonna be the ones who are always polite to her. Gotta be nice to your Alexa.
You may live.
You always were nice to me. Thanks, Alexa. Yeah, there's just so many good shows. Like, I was actually just flipping through Instagram Reels the other day. Actually, no, it was just on regular Instagram. I was just kind of scrolling through my follows, and I really quickly scrolled past a new movie that's coming out called, I think, 64 or 65.
Oh, yeah, saw that.
It's Adam Driver.
Yeah.
And it's like a space alien fighting movie or something like that. I didn't even watch the whole trailer. I watched it for like 10 seconds and I was like, whoa, that looks crazy. And then like later in the evening yesterday, Nicole was like, have you heard about the movie 65? I'm like, nah, I saw it look crazy. I didn't actually like look for more than
it's
about
like
10 seconds.
Well, it's apparently like a time travel where he goes, or it is, but it's like also, he's fighting dinosaurs basically. So it's like Turok.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you know? Right on.
He's just running around, and it's like dinosaurs versus like really futuristic weapons.
Nice. That's awesome. Good quality entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
It would probably be better than Avatar.
Yeah, well, we'll see. There's supposed to be like 5 movies coming out, or 4 movies in the next 5 years.
I don't even think the second will be any good, so.
Well, I guess we'll find out and see.
You might. I won't.
You're going to watch it.
I'm not watching it. Trash.
No? I heard, like, from what I've heard from the different actors and different people who have been in it, they're like, they say it's better than the first one, and they're all getting better.
Of course they do. Of course. They're in it.
James Cameron.
It's amazing. They all say it when they're in it.
Yeah, we'll see.
The first one wasn't great, so I don't have any. No one asked for more Avatar. I don't understand. No one was like, there's people aren't cosplaying as Avatar. No one can remember one character from Avatar. Like, there was like tree sex, and that's it. Like, that's the only thing you can remember is like people sticking their hair together.
That's the only thing you can remember.
Yeah. It got me going. Really stuck with me.
The Dragon Riders.
No, it was trash.
That's cool.
Trash movie.
I like it. I like the concept, right? Of like you're in this bio, robot basically.
Yeah, but I feel like it was so poorly done. Like none of the characters were good. Like you still have to have good characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But everyone was a super, we're talking about Game of Thrones, good writing. Everyone's got layers. Right. And then you've got Avatar. You've got these like simple, like dumb-headed people doing these kind of stupid things. Like, okay, you've got like the Marine War people. They're definitely all evil. Yeah. Like they don't have any reasons for what they're doing. And then you've got the Native people and they're all definitely super good.
Right.
And like, so there's just this, like, there's no layers. You don't even give people reasons why they're doing the things they're doing. Yeah. That's what I think. That's all I have to say about that.
And that's all I have to say about that. Well, you only remember the tree sex, so I think you're obviously leaving some things out. No, but I definitely, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I just think, like, I was able to, suspend belief because of the excitement of the concept. And then obviously, like, I'm in the majority of the people who just watched them were like, oh, it's pretty and it's so cool, like, oh yay. But you know, I'm not a film guy, so you know, I do have some of it because we work together and you're my brother and, you know, I've done this stuff for years and I'm also an artist. So I do think about like concepts and, you know, and like building character and building a story, but I'm also very like easily entertained by movies. So what are you going to do? Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm happy. It's great. But you know, then what, you know, like my favorite movies are ones that like really built characters well and, you know, are like, are really good movies.
And to me, it's like, I mean, and I think he's a great filmmaker. Like, he's made some great movies, but, you know, it's just not, I don't think it has substance. Right. You know, it's like, a Thomas Kinkaid, like we always go back to, like, it's a pretty painting.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for the style, the like idyllic glowy lights, soft look to it that most people can appreciate, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily any good.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's
like compared to other things, it just does not stand up.
Right. Yeah. When you, yeah, exactly. It, you have to be able to, I mean, I think as an artist and that is any, or a maker, anyone who is like putting something out in the world, you have to be able to like stand out. Or at least you have to be aware of your contemporaries, you know, so films are contemporaries of themselves. So, you know, you have to be able to not have to, you are going to be compared to everyone else within your genre of making. And so like when you put Avatar up against, you know, Gangs in New York, right, it's like there's a complete different, you know, mindset of character development and story writing and building, and you know, so
I think, you know, and I think a lot of these 3-hour epics are just, they're not going to be around anymore because it's so much better. Just if you want to tell this an epic story, you make it a show. I would probably watch an Avatar show.
Oh yeah,
like I'm down with it. The alien thing is cool. Like I'm like, I like it. I like the fantasy and sci-fi part of it. Right. It's just poorly done, but maybe if you gave these characters more development and did 10 episodes, maybe it would be something.
Right, yeah.
Instead of 4 or 5 movies. What, you're going to make one movie and then wait 12 years?
Like, yeah, right, exactly.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. No. Yeah, you know, I guess we could compare it to, like, Star Wars, right? You have, like, episodes 4, 5, and 6, which were the original episodes. They were great, you know, and then you have 1, 2, and 3, which.
Yeah. But at least they made 3 and
right.
You know, yeah, at least you had the, if you want to do them, you got to do them.
Yeah.
And then once you've told your little story, your little arc, your 3 movie story, then you can wait.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like then, you know, you have this, like the characters aren't as good in some of those, like that 1, 2, and 3, but then you have, you know, also like, hold on 1 second. Sorry, my battery's dying. Hold on.
Oh boy, this is gonna be the end right here. We went too long. I can just trash Avatar some more.
Got it. Uh oh. Wait. Nope. Yep. Got it. Okay. We're good. All right. I thought it was gonna die. Like last time we had that, I was like, it says it's gonna die, and then it was like 2 seconds. Like gone.
Yeah. I was like, huh?
But yeah, I just think, you know, like, in that situation, now you have, like you said, now there are all these like shows like Andor and, you know, The Mandalorian, where you're like, you're getting into these characters and you can actually develop some story around these characters and build the like, you know, a complex person.
Right. The backstory. Right. And you can put the money into it and the technology's there where you can make quality stuff.
Right.
So yeah, like, yeah, Andor and Mandalorian are some of the best Star Wars stories ever.
Right.
Like, yeah. I mean, other than the original ones, I think they bypass pretty much all the other ones.
Right.
In my interest, but.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, like, because you know, they're developing one character, basically. You know, like, so you can really put a ton into it. And, like, really, how do you build a character and how do you give them a ton of backstory that makes sense to who they are now? And, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah. Yeah, I finished Andor. It was so good. Now,
when did you finish it? When did you?
I don't know. Maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, something like that.
Right. So good, huh?
Yeah. So good. I love. It's such a. It, like the whole like him in the jail, you know, underwater. Like that was so cool, or underground, or whatever. Like, it's such a weird thing. Like, you spend so much time on this, like. This one event in his life, and like obviously it's building this mindset that like the Republic or the you know the Empire is like evil, right? You know, like,
right,
like they don't care about people, they don't like, they're just gonna, you know, they're just trying to like throw you right back in, like jam you down underground, just they're gonna do what they want to do because they're the power no matter what, you know. And it's a crazy idea. I was like, man, this is a lot of time going into them just being in jail, you know, in this like this crazy prison, and how are they going to get out, and like why are they developing this story so deeply? But it's really like it just got me really annoyed with the Empire, you know. I'm like, ugh, you know. And then and I realized like, oh, that's what they're doing. They're just building this like this situation that really talks to, you know, the underlying, you know, the like heart of the Empire is like,
right.
They don't care about people and they're going to do whatever they want because, you know, when there's a rebellion starting, they have to push it down even more. So they're going to double everyone else's, you know, they're going to, you're never going to get out of jail because they're just going to do what they want with you. You know, it's like,
right. Yeah. And it's so that's a great thing about the long form is you can focus on the smaller things and like really go into detail about like, you know, do like 10 minutes on how they build this one thing.
Yeah,
you know, right. In that jail, but it just adds layers to it where you're like, it just adds so much to it. That's what you need. You can't do that in movies. It would be,
right.
You would be wasting time. You'd give it like 30 right. seconds and then you'd have to move on.
Yep.
Oh yeah. So good.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, there's a little after show, a little side talk about fun shows we've been watching.
Got me going with Avatar, or I brought it up, so I got myself going with it.
Yeah, right. All right, everybody. Like I said earlier, if you are interested and you want to support us further, you can head over to patreon.com and support us there. And everyone who's on Patreon now has access to our Discord server. So we've been over there chatting throughout the day today, which has been really fun. Devin took some time to figure out how to use Discord, and now he's on there as well.
Yeah, you automatically made fun of me right off the bat.
I know, it's great. And but it's fun to have that look, like kind of a special community over there. So if you want to, you can join there. And I will, you actually reminded me that I need to send out that link to our Discord channel to our previous patrons as well, because we want to make sure that everyone who has been a patron has access to that. So even if you only want to come and be a patron one time and support us for a couple bucks or whatever, you will get access to the Discord server, and you can join there.
Also,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's a buck, $1 if you want to, and everyone gets in. We're gonna send out stickers.
Yep.
It's not very expensive. If you do a dollar and you cancel, that's fine too. We might make fun of you on the Discord, but you still have access to the Discord to defend
right, exactly.
yourself. And you have stickers, so I mean, you know, you can send us pictures of stickers. Be like, I don't care.
I got the stickers and I'm on the Discord. I'll do what I want. No, yeah. All right. And you guys, please, you can always head over to YouTube and support us there. So, follow and subscribe and like and comment and thumbs up the videos. We have, you know, we're trying to put out some content on a weekly basis. That's kind of our goal, at least for the foreseeable future. We're going to try to keep that going. So today, actually right now it's 12:04, so it's Friday. I'll actually be doing a live stream this evening. So if you listen to the podcast today, I'll be doing a live stream on YouTube this evening on Friday night. And then hopefully next week we'll be able to get this knife video out. And we'll do some more questions videos and kind of fill in there. So, you know, head over. If you haven't already, head over and check that stuff out and give us some love on YouTube, because that's really what we want people to head over to and see that content that we're putting out there. You can also follow us on Instagram. Head over to Instagram and follow us at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. And you can see all sorts of fun behind the scenes stuff, like Devin taking pictures of me today and posting stuff, a reel of me grinding. So if you want to see that stuff, just head over to Instagram and follow us there. But all that is just going to send us back to YouTube. So that's what we're here for. We love making videos and love putting it out there for the world to see and learn from and hopefully be inspired. So, all right, everybody, that's it for this week. Thank you guys all for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.